Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Welcome to Rebecca this morning, who's leading our worship today. Just got a quick message from Margaret Howell. She says, thanks to helpers and all who came to the tea and cake afternoon on Thursday, the 4th of August. Many thanks also for the raffle prizes and cakes, etc. £94.50 was raised for church funds. Well done. next week, I think we're quite short of people who can set up the chairs for the church service. So if anybody's able to come a little bit earlier to help set up the chairs, I'm on holiday, so of course John is as well. That would be great. Thank you. Let's have a short time of prayer before the service opens. Ever-present God, within the busyness of this and all days, be at the heart of all we do and say, the focus of our lives, that quiet whisper of encouragement, the gentle nudge if we should stray, our wisdom, strength and purpose for today. Amen.
We're now going to have a quick PowerPoint from the circuit about working arrangements from September onwards.
Hello, I'd like to take a few moments to talk to you about the developments in Preston Ribble Methodist Circuit. You will know that over the last few months, we've had significant changes in our staffing. This, in conjunction with the challenges of living in a post-COVID world and the demands that that has put on those who've returned to church, mean that we have significant changes to face in the future. It seems to us as a circuit leadership team that our vision remains unchanged from the one expressed in our statement in 2017 in the Following Jesus Loving Communities document. That is, of Preston Ribble Methodist Circuit as a thriving, growing partnership of churches where each person feels welcomed, encouraged and supported to become the disciples Christ hopes we will be. We are asking Jesus to help us rediscover the passion and excitement of being part of his family, a movement of disciples ready to say yes to him, willing to serve him at the heart of his communities. We have consulted with many of you as to the ways forward, and in 2022, your hopes and dreams can be condensed as follows. Faith, development and growth. Worship that connects. Pastoral care. Community outreach and development. To realise our hopes and dreams, we will need to free and enable congregations in local communities for mission, to share available resources and to use those resources well, to work in a more flexible and project-based way across the circuit. So, we are aiming to work in a collaborative way, which is a change from our normal delegation of staff to one particular church, so that the strength and energy of each church and staff member will be factored into a new team approach which will be put into place from September the 1st. We are aware that people will need to know who to contact as we are implementing this system, and so each church has a recommended team contact person. In conjunction with that, you will see from the diagram in a moment that we'll be working with all members of staff and volunteers across the circuit on projects to consolidate and grow our hopes and dreams, so that we are supported rather than working on our own, and are working towards being the kingdom of God in this place. All of this is the beginning of a journey, and next year will be in an interim year as we hope to have new members of the team in place in 2023. The following diagrams may help you to catch the vision with us.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship on this lovely sunny Sunday morning. It's quite interesting, just one of the ways God works. I really think I've not seen that presentation beforehand, but I really feel like today's Bible reading really speaks into this movement we have in our circuit. So hopefully we can explore that a bit more, and the reading can provide some context to what we are all going through together. I'll begin with our call to worship. Children of the Most High, come, let the Lord spread the fire of his word. Our first hymn is number 473 in Singing the Faith. It's quite a jolly, uplifting one, so I'm hoping some of you know it, but if not, hopefully you'll know it by the end of it. Moses, I know you're the man, the Lord said. You're going to work out my plan, the Lord said. Lead all the Israelites out of slavery, and I shall make them a wandering race called the people of God. So if we all stand up, if we're able, and we'll have a go and we'll sing along.
So if you want to be with me all your days.
We'll now have our prayers of adoration and confession. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, because you did not come with a great army waving banners, people could not understand what was before them. You came to give of yourself on the cross, taking upon yourself the sins of the world. Through your blood, we are set free. We raise our thanks to you. Seated at the right hand of the throne of God, we give thanks to you, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who gives us a joy like no other. We thank you for the witnesses of faith that have gone before us and the encouragement they are to us. We thank you for never giving up on us. Continue to refine us, Lord Jesus, so that we can be effective witnesses for you until the day comes when all is completed and we meet with you. But Lord God, the world is full of distractions and life holds many weeds of entanglement. Forgive us for allowing ourselves to get caught up in the stress of them. Help us to learn to say no to too many commitments and to speak out and to act when others try to manipulate or control us. There have been times when we've chosen the easier option to say or do nothing, only later to regret missed opportunities to share with you. We're sorry for the compromises we have made. Lord God, fire up our faith and help us to run with renewed vigour the race you have marked out for us. And Lord, we know that when we offer our sins to you, the things that we want to let go of, we know that you will always receive them from us and allow us to know that all of our sins are forgiven. In the name of Jesus, amen. We'll now say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So our theme today is about being those people of God. And to me, one of the biggest things that we do as people of God is that is displayed through the choices we make. And it's not just Christians that make those choices. We all make those choices. So I thought we'd think about that with, we'll play a game of rock, paper, scissors. So if you want to get into pairs and just play a couple of games and just see who can win, see if you can work out. Have you played it before, rock, paper, scissors? So let me get this right. If you do paper, that beats rock. Scissors cuts paper, and paper will wrap around a rock. So it's about seeing your opponent. So if you just want to have a quick go with each other, see if you can work it out. But So that's a very simple, that's a very simple choice we can make. Like, I always go for rock, which I think is one of the problems. Like, and if I used to play with my sister, and they would know I would always go for rock, so they'd always choose paper. And I was just never very good at the game. But sometimes some of these choices aren't quite as instant and simple. It's not a case of one, two, three, rock. Sometimes it's how am I going to deal with the money situations that we're all facing at the moment? Do I turn my heating off? Do I buy from a cheaper supermarket? And then the more you think about it, you start going, well, if I buy from a cheaper supermarket, are the farmers getting a fair price? Are the shop workers being paid properly? Or then you say, okay, to save some money, I'm going to turn my heating down. But then you think, well, if I turn my heating down, I could be very cold. And I know for some of you, the thought of being cold, it's harder to deal with than for someone like me. And we're faced with those choices all of the time. And sometimes when people look at Christians, I think they examine our choices very closely, personally. And in our reading, which we'll hear in a minute, people are making choices about how they want to live their lives, but maybe they're not quite making the right ones. So we'll hear our reading now. It's from the Gospel of Luke. Thank you.
Okay, so the reading's from Luke chapter 12, verses 49 to 56. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I have come to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain. And it does. And then the south wind blows, and you say, it's going to be hot. And it is. Hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time?
Our next hymn is number 467 in Singing the Faith. I need thee every hour. And to me, as I was reading this, as I was reading the Bible passage, I thought, sometimes Jesus asks a lot of us, but Jesus doesn't ask us to do all of this on our own. He offers himself to us. And that's what I'm trying to get at with this hymn, is that if we call on Jesus, hopefully we can make those right choices. I need thee every hour. Number 467.
Tender voice like thine.
Have you ever ruined someone's service with a heckle? Hands up. No, just me. I have. At roughly the age of 8, I managed to inadvertently ruin Tom Sutton's service once at my church in Ingle. You see that at that age, I was, well, probably still am to be honest, I'm a nurse, was very interested in the human body. And my favourite book at the time was I Wonder Why My Tummy Rumbles, answering the big questions about the human body. I'm sure, had Tom known that I was such an expert at the time, he might have found a different way of making his point. But his question was, what is the one part of our body that we don't wash? Any ideas? Tongue. Yeah, toothbrush, yeah, or the back of your toothbrush. Make yourself gag with the tongue brush. Yeah, we started going down the internal organs route as well. And he was like, no, it's not that one. Not that one. It is on the outside. Any ideas? No. Eventually, and this is why I was stumped, he said, it's our eyes. Our eyes are the one part of our body that we don't wash. And the point was, Jesus can wash our eyes so that we can see better. We can see what is going on around us if we allow Jesus to clear our vision. I respond with, we don't need Jesus to do that. That is what blinking is for. All those microscopic dust particles are shifted as we get a small deposit of tears across our eyes every time we blink. That way, we don't need to wash our eyes. It's nothing to do with Jesus. But what if Tom had a point? I mean, it's clearly stuck with me for this number of years. Do we really see things clearly? Jesus doesn't think that we do. Sorry, this is going to be a bit... To be honest, this sermon was quite uncomfortable to write. Jesus is quite short with people in this, so strap yourselves in, don't take it personally. He's quite short with the audience, exasperated by them, and wants to share some home truths with those around them. People feel like they have Jesus all figured out. He's the Prince of Peace. He's going to bring peace to our lands. And it's all going to be wonderful and fluffy, and it's all going to be great. Jesus says, I don't know why you think this, because it's not going to be easy, this is. There will be a considerable amount of suffering. You will all have to make difficult choices. Jesus talks about families being split up on generational lines, different generations disagreeing with each other. And Jesus, when he talks about families being split up, is actually quoting Micah chapter 7, verse 6. It says, it will divide families. And the prophet warns of imminent crisis and urges that the only way forward is complete trust in God. But nobody really wants to cause division within their own families. I think all of us allow a bit more leeway for family members than we would for other people. But Jesus says we shouldn't be allowing people this necessarily. If it goes against Jesus' teachings and what God would want, we should challenge them on this. There are injustices going on close by. And if we are not willing to challenge those around us who deny that there is nothing wrong, then we're not really getting why Jesus, what Jesus' mission is on earth. But Jesus does see all these things going on, and he sees that the crisis that is coming will have a large, his death will be a large shape in that. You can hear the tone, the anguish. I have this baptism which I must undergo, and none of you are seeing it. Jesus says they are better at interpreting the weather than seeing what God is doing around them or what God is sad about going on around them. Because sometimes we turn the other way. We don't really want to get into the murky details of it. It's difficult for us when you've got wealthy high priests, when you've got Pharisees with their own agendas. Going up against these people is scary, and you worry what the consequences of that are. You know that upsetting authorities is never going to end well. But Jesus calls for it nonetheless. Jesus is at the opposite end of the spectrum. We have the Pharisees and the high priests who are self-serving and doing what they want in the name of God. And then we have Jesus who is trying to bring in a kingdom, God's kingdom, and healing the sick and turning the whole world upside down. But Jesus' mission wasn't just back then, 2,000 years ago. It hasn't just died away and gone. And I honestly think that Jesus would have something very similar to say to us at the moment too, that Jesus could repeat those same things to us today. What is God doing around us? What is God calling us to? Are we all a bit comfortable in church? I think, even myself, we've got what we do well and we carry on with that. And we go, yeah, this works. We're going to carry on doing this rather than looking for fresh opportunities. Are we even relevant to our communities? Some of the most humbling experiences I've had have been when colleagues, they're not even atheists. They just say, the church isn't relevant to me. I haven't even thought about it. Would they notice if we disappeared tomorrow? What are we doing to help those struggling the most with the cost of living crisis? As we are melting here in the heat that we've had this weekend in the last couple of days, and the heat wave a few years ago, what are we doing about climate change? These may be questions in your church. I'm not part of your church, but these are all questions we need to answer or try to answer. Or what about those family members who don't quite share the same views with us? The anti-woke brigades, the ones who talk about identity politics and climate change deniers, those headlines going woke nonsense. Sometimes These people that say these things, we should be challenging them. And I have to say, I've challenged family members, and it is awkward now. But they can't just carry on spreading these lies, sort of untested, because there is so many untruths out there, and it's damaging to our worlds. We've just had our presentation this morning about hopes and dreams, about the big changes we are facing as a church. And I really think God has given us this opportunity to really get to the nub of what's important in our church and what's important to our community. But it's not just us as a church. It's us as individuals as well. What can we offer? And I know that's scary because, I'll be honest, since I answered my call to preach, I spend a lot more time doing things for church than I ever used to. Sometimes God will use every scrap of your free time. Like, there may be something wrong with me, but for our summer holiday Bible club, I'm doing that every Monday morning. I'm then going on to work straight after that, sometimes working till 10, 11 o'clock at night. And I'll not lie, it's really hard. And sometimes God does call us to those difficult things. But maybe God doesn't call you to use your every waking hour or every scrap of free time. Or God doesn't call you to make those big sacrifices that Jason and Judith from your church have made into becoming ordained ministers. But we all have a part to play. And God can use those skills that we've got and use our time and our energy into growing that kingdom of God. Maybe it's in your workplace. Maybe it's those conversations with friends, offering them a gentle nudge in a different direction, saying that their perspective isn't the only perspective on things. Challenging injustice. Maybe it's in climate action. But there are so many other ways. But we don't do this alone. You've got a wonderful community here of people who can support you. I think that's where our strength lies, and that's part of what our circuit vision is. If you're struggling, then call out to other churches for help. And if we support each other, we can do these big things. Or it could be friends or family members who can all support us in following God's calling on our own lives. And sometimes it's not easy. We do have to go through a bit of pain, or a lot of pain for some people. Richard Raw this morning, in his daily email that he sends out, talks about how suffering can break down our barriers, crush those egos, as these are all things that can keep us separate from God. And as we break down those barriers within them, that may be a front, that may be a polished image, that is when we allow God into our lives to experience that deeper relationship with God. Or maybe it's not just personal, but as churches. Sometimes we put on a shiny facade, say, look how put together we are, look how smart and organised we are. But sometimes people can respond to our vulnerability. It allows the light to shine out in that vulnerability. And it allows us windows into the real world to see the difficulties around us. it's really not a comfortable process. There may be things that we love that we need to say, it's time to put that down and do something new. But as God is our refiner and how God puts us in that fire, I pray that he may refine us into the people and the churches that he needs us to be in our communities. Amen. Our next hymn is number 703 in Singing the Faith. In an age of twisted values, have we changed the tune to this one? Yes. So the tune was a bit unfamiliar, but we've changed it to one that hopefully we'll all know. Thank you. We'll now have our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the week just past. We pause for a moment to remember times when we felt ourselves to be vulnerable. We thank you for the moments when you were clearly present, perhaps in helping us to feel your peace, or in nature, or through the word or touch of friends and family. We ask you to help us to see you even more clearly in the week ahead. And even when we can't feel you, help us to trust that you are there and you do care. Lord, you know all our vulnerabilities. Help us to put our trust in you. Father, we pray for all who are expecting exam results this week. The culmination of all they have worked for will soon be in their hands. We rejoice with those who have achieved what they hoped for, and we ask for your comfort and strength for those who will be disappointed. We ask for wisdom and guidance for our young people as they decide what to do next with their lives. Lord, you know all of our vulnerabilities. Help us to put our trust in you. Father, we lift to you the vulnerabilities we face in this country around the spiralling energy costs and the bills we will need to pay. We know that many people are afraid of what is already facing them, with predictions of worse to come. We pray that the authorities will act quickly to alleviate the situation as soon as possible in a fair way to everyone. Lord, you know all of our vulnerabilities. Help us to put our trust in you. Father, we pray for places in our world where there is division. We pray for families in crisis, especially any who are known to us. We ask for your comfort and love to surround all children in the care system. We pray for help for all who are bullied or abused. We lift to you countries in conflict, especially Gaza and Israel, Yemen and Afghanistan, Ukraine, Myanmar. We cry to you to bring peace and courage to all those who are being persecuted for following you. Lord, you know all of our vulnerabilities. Help us to put our trust in you. Creator God, we know that our planet, this beautiful world you have made, is currently in crisis. And this is because of our misuse of resources. We pray for all those who suffer most because of our recklessness, particularly those who live in areas of famine or in places of drought where there used to be plenty. We pray for our own farmers struggling with lack of rain. We ask that grain stored in Ukrainian ports may soon get to those who need it most. We cry to you in our sorrow for the cutting down of rainforests, melting of polar ice, and hotter weather. We are sorry for our misuse of this vulnerable, beautiful planet. Help us not to leave it to our children to do something. We are responsible. Help us to behave justly. Lord, you know all of our vulnerabilities. Help us to put our trust in you. Father, we pray for our health service and all who work in the NHS and social care. We thank you for their love, care and support for us when we are vulnerable. We pray for all those awaiting operations and consultations and all who have been adversely affected by the pandemic. We pray for all those who are adversely affected by our current heat wave. We lift to you now those who we know are ill or struggling at this time. We pray for those who care for the elderly and the housebound. We pray for those who are dying or mourning the loss of a loved one. Lord, you know all our vulnerabilities. Help us to put our trust in you. Heavenly Father, we focus now on the week ahead of us. We bring to mind moments when we might feel ourselves to be vulnerable. We ask you to go before us into every situation, to pave a path of peace in front of us. Help us to be alert to others in our community or workplace who might be feeling vulnerable this week, and give us the courage to put aside our weaknesses so that we can support others. Help us to trust that you know everything about us and care about every situation in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you are always there for us. Lord, as we leave this place, travel with us and keep us close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll now receive the offering for the work of Christ in this church and community. Is only a small token of the love that we have for you. I pray that this money and those and that money given by the bank may be used for your purposes to build your kingdom in this church and in this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our final hymn is number 673 in Singing the Faith. Will you come and follow me?
prisoners free and never be the same. Will you kiss the leper clean and do such as this unseen and admit to what I mean in you and you in me? Will you love the you you hand if I but call your name? Will you quell the fear inside and never be the same? Will you use the faith you found to reshape the greater realm through my sight and sound and sound and you and you in me? Lord, your sermons echoes true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you and you in me.
Faithfully, standing our ground with eyes fixed securely on the Lord. Amen.